Aaron Russell from the Russell Firm to talk about trademarks with the NCAA. And Aaron, I'm even nervous to say it out loud, even though I think I'm covered for purposes of reporting, commentary, criticism, or parody, to say March Madness, right? I can say it just in commentary, right?
You can say it, yes.
Okay. I can say the Super Bowl, too, as long as I don't tie it to some sort of money-making aspect, right?
That's right.
Okay. Speaking of March Madness, now that I feel comfortable saying that, the NCAA, boy, they really protect those two words, don't they?
They do. They protect those two words and a whole bunch of marks that are related to those two words that they have registered with the trademark office.
What other sort of related words? I mean, March Madness is pretty self-explanatory. What are the rest? You don't have to give me all of them, but do you know some of the other ones off the top of your head?
I do. They actually have registered March Madness, the Big Dance, Final Four, Elite Eight, the Road to the Final Four, and even the Women's Final Four, okay, among others.
How are they? It's such a national thing that we participate in. We all kind of take part in it. How are they able to do this? Is this a common thing for entities like them or the NFL to really prevent people from making money off those words?
It is, and NFL and other sports organizations do it as well, and this is kind of an inherent problem with trademark law where, you know, what they're trying to avoid is two things. Genericide, where it becomes like you're kind of talking about, everyone just sort of associates it with, you know, football or, you know, basketball in the spring. They're trying to avoid that because that diminishes the value of their marks. And they're also trying to avoid people using it in ways that they don't agree with or that could diminish the value of the marks. You know, if someone used it at a kind of a bad location or something bad happened at the location and the NCAA can't control the quality of that event, then it can diminish the value of the mark.
I see. So when it becomes so generic, they lose value on the people that they allow to use those terms, and it just sort of dilutes the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like marks that over time have become generic. You know, we've talked about this in the past, marks like air fryer, aspirin. Those used to be protected trademarks, brands, but now they've become so commonly associated with just a general product that they're no longer protected marks, and we consider them to just be generic terms.
Taco Tuesday, I think we talked about it once, Aaron.
Exactly.
So some might say, why are they being so aggressive in really clamping down? And some would argue, I've read a lot of articles that they are over-aggressive on this, or some people interpreted it as that. But that's part of their responsibility as holding the trademark, right? In fact, that is one of the stipulations of having a trademark, is you have to enforce it, right?
Well, kind of. The Lanham Act, which is the law that governs trademarks, doesn't mandate it. However, you are required to protect the mark. And if you don't, someone can come along and make a filing with the trademark office saying, hey, they're not protecting this. I will. I want to use it. I want their mark canceled or given to me. So in the interest of that, the NCAA is famous for maybe, and a lot of people, like you said, have pointed out, overprotecting the mark. One thing I learned recently that I found interesting was that the NCAA gets more than 80% of their annual budget from their marketing of the tournament. Hmm. And so they have a massive financial interest. I mean, if you think about it, then the very short tournament period makes their budget for the year. And they have to license that and market that and make obviously an incredible amount of money at it. So that's a lot to protect.
I'm reading in this article, just in the last 12 months, the NCAA has opposed or obtained extensions of time to oppose applications to register the following marks. And you can explain what that means to me in a second. But the marks are Street Madness for automobile shows or car meets, March Greatness, which was used for charitable fundraising, Mad March, which was used by advertising and promotional services, Final Friday, and Mad IQ basketball board game, and Marsh Mania, which was used for seeds to attract wildlife. Is this an overreach, or is this just them really putting their foot down and saying, don't even get close to this thing?
I think it's both. I think in some instances, they have good reason to oppose some of these marks and get involved. And then obviously there are some instances where you feel like it's pretty attenuated. You don't think, I mean, the whole idea of trademark is that It's a designation of origin. You it's an indicator of the source of the goods or the service. So I don't think very many people are getting confused by some of those proposed marks and thinking that the NCAA is actually involved. But that's the measure that they're using. So if it even comes close to something that could be, cause consumer confusion, they stomp on it pretty hard.
Right. So it doesn't have to be the exact same words, but if a reasonable person were to see those two words or three words or whatever, if it's Mad March or March Greatness, and think that it was part of an NCAA, like they had given them the nod to do it, or it was part of March Madness, that is reason enough to protect, and the judge would allow them to protect their trademark in that way.
Yeah, the judge very well might. And that's kind of, you've hit on kind of a key point too, is they can afford to be aggressive. They've got deep coffers. And if you're going after some little bar or some small business, very often I think they just can't afford to even deal with the opposition. They probably just sign the mark over to the NCAA or just withdraw the registration, because it can be very expensive to litigate these matters.
Right. And I'm sure a letter from a lawyer representing the NCAA is good enough reason for anyone to stop what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. That would be a heavy hammer. And I think that it's probably they're not making enough money on whatever little project they were doing to make it worth their while to continue.
Is that what happens? Is it a letter, or can there be an immediate fine?
It's usually a letter. I think they send out a lot of letters, and they understand that probably a lot of small businesses will act right away to stop what they're doing, or at least contact them and try to negotiate something or talk to them. I think that sometimes if someone has registered a mark and they're not just like advertising an event, then they do, they file an opposition and they go to proceedings before the trademark board.
Do they just have a lot of people Googling stuff all the time?
You can set up, actually, there are lots of services that can send you notifications if someone has registered a mark that's similar to yours. And often trademark attorneys also just register monitor new filings, so they can be caught that way as well.
What about a bar that just puts it on their signs or something like that? That would have to be, that's not as easy to find, but still a violation, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think that a lot of companies, a lot of trademark holders will employ people to go around and monitor bars and restaurants and places that have a tendency to do this and kind of investigators and to report it, send a photograph or make a report.
Aaron Russell from the Russell Firm. We're out of time. I appreciate you breaking this down for me. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for your time. Take care.
Anything trademark, I call Aaron from the Russell Firm.